Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, June 18th, and I better remember to wish my son happy birthday today. He's turning 22. Happy birthday, Sean. And you just have to do it, you know? Right, Jen?
Wish somebody happy birthday?
Yeah.
Yes.
If it's your son, come on.
Right.
You know, if I have the ability to do so, I'll do so. And if I can shout it to the whole world, I'll do that too.
It's very nice.
There you go. So we're back on the show live after a couple days off. And we're back at you. We have a great guest sitting here waiting for us. And we'll bring her in just a second. Jen, have you had a good couple days?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to know about them?
Duh.
Why? Well, I didn't know. You just asked if they were good, so I said yes. They were really good.
All right. Yeah, you may speak at any time.
Well, thank you. Well, I try and speak when, like, asked a question.
Yeah,
so.
It's
all right, I'll assume
to, right?
You want to know what I did. So yeah. I was really busy. We filmed a Two Drunk Girls episode yesterday.
Oh, so Lauren's back?
Lauren is back. She got back on Monday.
Nice.
And
you're excited to see her, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yes, yeah. I was. So we filmed that, and we talked about Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. I didn't recognize the last name because I haven't heard it pronounced for some reason. I only saw it written down.
Yes, we made
I haven't
sure
watched
to know.
Any TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how's it pronounced?
Dolezal.
Dolezal, okay.
Yes.
So you talked about her?
Yes.
And that's the one pretending to be black and is a... she's the head of the chapter of the NAACP in...
Spokane.
Seattle, right? Spokane.
Spokane.
That's
yeah,
right.
So she is no longer the head of it. She resigned because
she resigned.
Of the issues pertaining to her race and just obviously misrepresenting herself.
Right. And it was her parents that outed her, too.
Yes.
Right.
Well, they gave the final, like, you know, verdict that she
oh,
is
really?
Caucasian.
Yeah. So you mean this was discovered before they came?
Yeah. Somebody else had made a claim against her, and so then they needed a verification. And so her parents said, well, yeah, we're white. She's
yeah.
White.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty strange, you know. But, I mean, who knows what goes on through a person's mind.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, I guess you just... you know, I don't know that there's necessarily anything wrong with it, but if you use it to misrepresent yourself when you're trying to get a position, then
right.
I can see the problem with that.
Well, that's the issue that came up. However, she's also been misrepresenting herself for years.
Yeah.
So she happened to do that early on, and then it got her the position, I would assume,
right.
At the NAACP. But what she did shouldn't be discredited, like, as far as her work that she did on behalf of them.
Mm.
And now it's bringing up all these issues pertaining to ethnicity, much the same as gender. So, like, Caitlyn Jenner, for instance, mm-hmm. has, as Bruce always felt like, he was a she. So he became a she.
Right.
So she, I don't know what she did to her skin and her hair, but she, Rachel Dolezal, became black.
Became black, right.
Yeah, so it brings up that, you know, she identified with the African-American culture.
Mm. You think she had something done to her skin?
I don't know. They asked about it.
Really?
Oh. She wasn't that color, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, she was very pasty earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they showed pictures of her on the Today Show. Matt Lauer said, okay, so here's you. Clearly it's you at age 16. You don't look the same. What'd mm-hmm. you do?
Right.
You know, I mean, he
right.
asked her a little
and
bit
she
more
didn't come clean
eloquently
with it.
And professionally than that. But if I were interviewing her, I'd be like, what tanning salon are you going
yeah,
to?
Yeah, right.
Because I need that tan. I don't need that perm because that hair is crazy.
Yeah.
But she also is a stylist to the black community. So she made her hair.
Yeah, she's familiar
curly.
With the hair. Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a better way to say that.
Right.
Curly. But, like, really curly.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even, like, Jufro. Like, really curly. So.
And she actually... I totally forgot what I wanted to say. But the situation is that... Oh, the media eat this thing up, you know? I mean, they love this stuff. You know, they should. And yeah, that's true. But I don't know if sometimes we make more of something than it is, you know. But, you know, what do I know? It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, the thing is I think it's just like sort of a novelty story. But
I don't know that it is, considering that there's a lot of race issues in our country, that there's identity issues. People kill themselves over their identity and not being able to be who they are and being bullied for who they are. And
right.
And she's actually talking about it, and it, people are diving into it. So I think that it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, people are shot at because of their race. I'm just in Charleston last night. Right. So, yeah. I mean, nine people were shot at.
Yeah.
Six people are dead. So I think that it is a big deal, especially if she's misrepresenting it to be a race that is being shot at, like last night, then people have to talk about it.
Right. But I have to wonder how influential she is, you know, I mean, to the rest of the country. I mean, she may have been in her hometown, but, you know, I don't know that I don't know how much influence that has, you know, but I mean, look, it opens up controversy, and that's a good thing. You know, it opens up conversation.
I mean, and she was a president of an organization. Right. So, and that organization is a national organization. So she, you know, it's a big deal.
But she was just one chapter of it, right? She wasn't the head of the whole thing.
No, she was a president of that chapter.
Right. Okay. I have to agree.
Great.
Okay. did you hear that they're going to put a woman on the new $10 bill?
I did in 2020.
Yeah, but they don't know who it's going to be.
Nope.
They just decided it's going to be a woman. That's interesting.
I'll volunteer my face.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, maybe you'll be president by then. Who knows? You've got 5 years to run.
I mean, that's the other thing, that if they're going to put a president on there, and it obviously has to be a president, and it's going to be a woman, they should probably elect a female president.
Right.
Like, you got to kind of do both things if you're going to do that. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They don't only have presidents. They have Benjamin Franklin on there.
Well, was he the money guy?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't want to start throwing things in the air, but Ben Franklin did a lot of things. You know, he was part of the founding fathers.
I think we're supposed to know this, though, as president. Americans.
Yeah.
But I think he did the treasury.
Maybe he did, but Benjamin Franklin did a lot.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't a president, you know, so he got to be on there. But he was very important in the with the founding fathers.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Well, maybe they'll really just switch things up and put, like, me on.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
No rhyme or reason.
Yeah. I mean, would you run for president?
No,
you wouldn't, huh?
Why would I do that?
I don't know.
It's a big role.
It's the top office
Nobody
in the land.
You. Anything you do is wrong.
Right.
So,
but the reward is amazing. You know, you become part of history.
Oh.
Mm.
Could be a bad thing, though.
Yeah, that's true.
People could remember you for, like, really bad things.
Yeah, well, but don't predict bad things for yourself. I'm sure you
do. Oh, no, I'm just saying.
You make a pretty good
could
president.
Could go both ways.
Yeah, that's true. And if worse comes to worse, maybe they know something we don't, and maybe Hillary is going to be elected, and then they'll put a female president
on
there.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Because they did say it out loud. They should have probably waited to see who got elected to be like, and in 2020, 4 years after the next president's elected.
Right.
You know, like winking at us, like they know.
Right. There's another woman running on the Republican side, Carly Fiorina. Have you heard of her? She used to be the CEO of, was it HP? I think HP, right? But she's on the Republican side. And, you know, I don't know what chances she has, but that's another woman that's
running. I'm already voting for her.
Yeah.
Done. You
just
said enough.
She's running.
Well, because she's a Republican.
She's a woman.
And she's a woman. And because she's a badass woman that ran a huge company.
Right.
So she has business behind her. Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I
so
need to
does
know.
Donald Trump. Would you vote for
That's
him?
That's just silly.
Okay. But he's got a lot of business and money behind him, too.
He's just ridiculous, though.
Isn't he, though?
Could I listen to him for 4 years? Possibly eight? No.
Yeah.
Like, today, the president gave a speech about the issue that happened, the murder that happened in Charleston last night. Do I want to hear Trump talk about that stuff? Probably not.
No, huh?
No, I don't know that he wants to talk about that stuff.
He just makes a lot of promises, but he probably would not make a great politician, especially when nobody's taking him seriously.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they're saying that, like, Oprah would run with
him. He's like a joke, yeah. A running joke in this country is Donald Trump. What are you going to do?
But he also, you know, is Donald Trump. Like, yeah. He's Donald Trump.
He's just known. I mean,
I don't know that I need him to be my president.
Yeah. No, I don't want him either.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. Don't worry.
I can't.
There are just way too many people running, you know,
right,
that have much better chances than Donald Trump does.
Yes. Like Carly.
Yeah.
My homegirl.
Like Carly. There you go. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest now. Enough talking about news that you can get anywhere, really, today, right? I mean, news is everywhere today. And we just bring it to you with some opinion. You may care, you may not care, but that's something to think about. You see, we always give you something to think about. We have Nikki Dinky in the studio. Welcome to the show, Nikki.
Hi, guys. Hi. How are we doing this morning?
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You look all bright and happy this morning and everything. I understand you've been traveling.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot. Happy to be here in California, but I've spent a lot of time this winter in the South shooting my new show, Junk Food Flip.
Oh, wow. So, and where do you call home?
So, I live in New York, in Manhattan. Uh-huh. Been there for about 14 years, but I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. So.
Oh, really? But you stayed in New York?
Yeah, New York State, but a good 7 hours apart from where I grew up and where I am now.
Right.
Just a little distance.
Do you like living there? I mean, you've been there a long time.
Yeah, I love this city. You know, yeah. Listen, Los Angeles has a lot to offer. It's beautiful. There's beaches. But I've just always been a city girl.
Right. It's too sleepy here, huh?
It's, you know what, there's action here, but I just, I like the hustle and bustle of the city. I like the feeling of walking everywhere. I don't know, it just, for me, it feels right. So yeah. Until my husband drags me away from the city, I'll
You're
be there for
stay
a while
there,
longer.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So, but you've been to LA before, right?
Yeah, I have. One of the last times I was here, I was actually filming Food Network Star, which is a program on the Food Network where 12 contestants compete to have their own show. So that was a really different experience being here in LA because I was shooting a reality show.
Right.
I didn't get to see much of LA. We mostly saw hotel rooms in the studio. And it was pretty intense and ridiculous. So I'm happy to be back to LA without all the stress.
Yeah. You know?
Different circumstances.
Very different circumstances. Now I'm just hanging out and talking to you guys.
Yeah. How long did the process take that contest that they had?
Yeah, so for Food Network Star, we filmed for almost 3 months.
Really? So you were like almost like just isolated for 3 months?
You're very isolated. Yeah. In order to protect what happens on the show, because it's the highest rated program on Food Network, so knowing who goes home every week, you know, they don't want that information to get leaked.
Right.
So
do they take your phones? I mean, you obviously sign an NDA, but...
Girl, they took our phones. There was no TVs, no internet access.
Wow.
And we could only talk to our families for 10 minutes about every 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was really intense.
It's like sequestering a jury, right?
It is. And, you know, even when we were on set, we had to be escorted to the bathroom because they didn't want you to see possibly what was happening the next day because you got some sort of clue from walking around the set.
Wow. So, but that's kind of fun. Like, I would have been on a mission to find out that. I would have been like,
well, listen.
No one can see me. I'm finding out.
You know, me and a couple of my other contestants, you know, we definitely would spread the gossip and be like, I heard a PA saying, like, you know, and it usually never was actual accurate information. But when you are doing nothing but shooting a reality show like this where it's a contest and there's constantly challenges, you know, you definitely get really involved in it. So, you know, here's the thing. It was stressful. It was crazy. But it also was, you'll never have that experience again.
Right.
When are you an adult and someone takes away your phone and you are shooting a TV show for 3 months like that? It's just, it was totally unique. And I actually saw some of my castmates last night. We had dinner here in LA, Stacey Punkinny and Lovely, Chef Lovely. And it was so fun seeing them because you can kind of, like, you know, talk about all these stories.
And only you guys know those experiences.
Right. For sure. It's like we are bonded for life.
Right.
Where do chefs eat dinner when they come to LA?
We ate kind of close to where I'm staying over at Tortilla Republic. You know, definitely a little spicy food.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, some spicy margaritas. So, yeah, we had a good time. There was plenty of food, plenty of margaritas. And it's always fun to have more friends in different places. And you know, whether it's Food Network Star, where we got to meet all these different people that we were competing against, or my new show, Junk Food Flip, where we got to travel around. Like, I just love that whatever city I go to, there's somebody awesome that I want to have dinner with. Wow. And to me, it's a really good, like, perk of the job.
Right. So, so we introduced you, but we didn't say what you do. So you're a chef. Right.
Correct.
And a professional chef, I presume, right? You don't just cook for your family. You actually know what you're doing.
Well, I do both. I know what I'm doing and I cook for
and
my family.
Cook for your family.
But I also cook professionally, both on TV, online. I actually used to have a radio show way back when. And I actually just finished writing my first cookbook, Meat on the Side, which will be out next year. So in a lot of different ways.
That's
thank you
cool.
so much. Between, you know, Junk Food Flip and my cookbook, it's been a really exciting time.
Right. And we'll talk about all these and everything. So you said you spent time in the South for the show?
Yeah, for Junk Food Flip, we shot mostly in the wintertime. And so in order to not have snow on the ground and all those kind of obstacles, we went mostly to like Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, that kind of area. Mm. And we shot our first season of Junk Food Flip there. And we pretty much just found some of the best restaurants there and some of the best people. So it was really cool, you know, traveling around with Bobby Dean, my co-host, and just exploring and cooking and meeting people. And it was a lot of fun.
Right. And now, so, I mean, the name sounds interesting. Tell us what it is that you do on the show.
So Junk Food Flip, it's on Cooking Channel Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wow, I remembered all that. I'm so good. On Junk Food Flip, me and Bobby Dean travel around the country and we find places that have a signature dish that's also really indulgent. So, you know, something that people are lining up out the door for, but it happens to be 15, 16, 1800 calories.
Right.
And what we do is we challenge the owners of these restaurants to a Junk Food Flip and we say that we can make a healthier version that's actually better than the original. And we hope to prove that with a huge blind taste test. We get about 60 to 80 of the locals, and we give them each version. They don't know which is which, and we simply ask them which one's better. And the goal here is that we can hopefully prove that, you know, it's all easy to make healthy food. We all know that a salad's healthy. What we want to prove is that we can make healthy food that's actually better than the full-fat version. So it's a lofty promise, but, you know, we got some tricks up our sleeve.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, now I'm curious. I'd like to see that. Because...
And I want to eat all of that. Oh, my God. I know I'm hungry right now just thinking about it.
Because, you know, I can think of a place where people line up here is Pink's Hot Dog in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they have chili dogs that people line up around the block to get. Now, so let me ask you this. I mean, they've got like the best junk food ever. What would you be able to do there with a chili dog?
Well, we actually took on a place called Perfectly Frank's over in Charleston, South Carolina, just a little outside of there. And they're a hot dog joint, kind of like Pink's. And
right.
We took on their French toast hot dog. They decided that they needed to do a breakfast item. You know, they didn't want to just
holy
be a hot dog
cow.
Joint. So they took... it was actually more of a sausage, but a spicy Italian sausage hot dog thing.
Uh-huh.
They took their hot dog bun, they put it in a French toast batter and put it on the grill. And then they deep fried bacon, put that all over the top with some eggs and some maple syrup
Whoa.
And some powdered sugar.
Holy.
So,
I need that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a day's worth of calories, right?
That was actually one of our most calorie-laden ones, while also not being that big in size. I believe it was like 1,700 calories. It was a lot. You know, the fried bacon alone on that particular item was 600 calories. Because bacon is already really fatty and, you know, has a lot of calories. But when you deep fry it, you kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, in that kind of situation, it's really about looking at these things. Same idea with a chili dog and saying, number one, like, where do the calories matter? To me, 600 calories spent on fried bacon is not worth
it's
it
to waste, me. It's a waste, right? Yeah.
It's a waste.
Right.
So, you know, I came up with an idea of doing like a nice, smoky, spicy candied pecan and putting that on top for that same crunch and that same kind of look. And people actually preferred it over the bacon.
Really?
And so it's kind of just making these like smart choices and looking at each element and saying, where can I not just cut calories, but also for me, you know, where can I add nutrition? You know, my book is called Meat on the Side. And so my whole perspective and the way that I cook is, you know, flipping your plate, not just having a big steak with a side of broccoli, but having that broccoli be special enough to be the entree portion of your plate. Mm. And I don't include more than 4 ounces of meat. So when I'm looking at these, you know, challenges on Junk Food Flip, I really want to bring my meat on the side perspective to it and not just lighten it up, but actually make it more nutritious. Mm. Add more vegetables where you wouldn't expect, take away the meat without even noticing it. And so that's kind of my challenge to myself, is to really, you know, represent what I do and my style of cooking on the show.
Right. So now, are you saying that eating meat is not healthy?
So listen, a little bit of meat is fine. Right. But, you know, the USDA, for someone, you know, of, you know, your, I was going to say size, but that makes you sound large. You're a fit young man. But for most men, you know, you don't want to have more than 6 ounces of meat. And for women, it can be as low as 4 ounces of meat for your day. Mm. And we are many times having that easily in just one meal. And so what I try to do is, you know, show people ways that vegetables can be manipulated and special enough that they can be that star, and not necessarily excluding the meat, but making 2 to 4 ounces of meat really go a long way. Right. And so you're not going to miss anything with my cooking. It's just about kind of doing it a little bit smarter.
Yeah, that's true. So you're concerned with health as well when you cook. That's always at the front of your I mean, that's what you really want to keep, is good food, but also healthy.
Yeah, and you know, when I say healthy, I really mean almost more nutritious.
Right.
And so the great thing is that when you eat the way that I eat, which is meat on the side, is that you're eating more vegetables and you're getting them in ways you don't even think about it. You know, after this, I'm headed to Hallmark Home and Family to do my cauliflower Alfredo recipe on the air.
What's that?
It is. So what you do is, instead of your normal Alfredo sauce, which is pretty much just butter and cream, I take cauliflower and I puree that up and I create this really indulgent sauce, still with some Parmesan, still with some stuff, and it coats the pasta and it has a very similar creamy effect. And, you know, you can add your favorite toppings. You can use that sauce on a white pizza. And it's just about giving people other options that are, yes, that's obviously healthier. My cauliflower Alfredo is much healthier than the original Alfredo. But it's also the fact that in a serving of it, you're going to eat about a half a head of cauliflower, which has, you know, cauliflower has more vitamin C than orange juice. So I love the idea of my food isn't just about lightening it up, but it's also about you're eating those vegetables that we really need. So that's my goal, you know, in a nutshell.
Right. And I think that the problem with today's society, especially young people, is they don't eat a lot of vegetables. You know, I mean, you go to McDonald's, you go to all these places, there are no vegetables, you know. So people really have to be conscious, I think, of what they put in their body.
Yeah.
You know? When did you start getting into all this?
Well, it's funny that you mention kids not being interested in vegetables, because I was called Picky Nikki my entire childhood. Some of my family still calls me it today. But I was called Picky Nikki for good reason. I literally didn't eat a single vegetable until I was 20 years old.
Wow.
I also didn't eat any protein. When I was 9 years old, I was such a picky eater that my mother kind of gave up. There was 4 other mouths to feed.
Right.
And she said, you can eat whatever you want, but I'm not going to make it for you. So I cooked for myself from 9 years old on, and my diet literally consisted of bread and cheese in different forms. Ramen noodles, cereal, you know, just different, just noodles plain. And so I never developed a taste for things. And you really do, as a kid, learn to like things. And so at 20, I really went on this adventure of realizing that I could learn to like a tomato. I could learn to like broccoli. And that's when really the world of food opened up to me, and I got really excited about flavors. I always loved food. I just didn't love a variety of food.
Yeah.
So now that there was this variety in front of me, it got exciting. I started cooking more. It became this extreme hobby. It led to a YouTube channel, to a radio show, to my food blog, to Food Network Star, and now to Cooking Channel.
Very cool. So it became part of your life now.
Oh, I mean, just food is everything to me. I mean, it's just, to me, it's such a great creative outlet. It's such a great way to share. I love to entertain. It's just, I just think it's a wonderful thing. And the best part is that everybody eats food.
There you go.
So, you know, you always are the coolest person at a cocktail party.
Yeah. Especially on The Sopranos. I mean, almost every scene was around the table eating, you know. It's amazing. But people have created, like, rituals out of eating.
For sure. It's funny you mentioned that. I actually did do an episode of The Sopranos.
Really?
I played AJ's girlfriend in the final season of The Sopranos.
Really?
Just for an episode.
Oh, okay.
But
we'll
yes, it's that idea of, you know, just getting around a table. table and eating and drinking and sharing and putting your phones away and just being there. And I think that when the food is good and interesting and people are talking about it, it only adds to that atmosphere.
Right. And I guess you want to be aware of what you're eating, you know, because you know, that's the fuel for the body, you know.
Sometimes,
you know, we're just caught up in the rat race. We don't have time to eat right. And we just grab pizzas here, you know, hamburgers there mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And it catches up with you, right?
You know, I always say it's interesting. We all know that if we get prescribed a medication, how much, you know, like a tiny little pill that we ingest can affect our bodies.
Right.
You know, we understand that when we take something in through our mouths, it's going to get in our bodies. And I think sometimes we underestimate how much our food is a part of that. Our food is these pills that we're taking every day. And they're either going to help fuel you and do great things for you, or they're going to slow you down. And I think that it's just important to be conscious of that. And listen, it's about small choices. I'm not asking everybody to eat vegetables all day long. Like, you know, have your Doritos, have whatever. But I think it's just about, you know, what I'm trying to do with my book, Meat on the Side, rethinking your plate and just getting more vegetables in your diet. And hopefully I can show people ways that they're going to really want to eat those vegetables.
Right.
So it's the little choices. It's just about, you know, being a little more conscious of the way that we're eating.
Right. And that's important, you know, and that's why this interests me, because right now we're trying to get my daughter. She's 25 already, mm-hmm. but she's also been like a lazy eater. You know, she never really wanted to eat much. I remember my mom would try, and we've been talking about this recently, she would try to feed her healthy stuff, but she just wouldn't eat it, you know, when she was young. And I believe that she has some health issues because of that. I think if you don't get nutrition.
Oh, for sure.
So she
I'm significantly
like
shorter
that,
than my
you know?
Entire family.
Yeah.
Like my whole family is 3 to 4 inches taller than me. And
yeah.
I guarantee you it's because I ate bread
yeah.
and cheese my entire growing up.
There you
period.
Go. And you see, she's tiny too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now she's aware of it and she's willing to eat anything. But let me ask you this. So we went to a nutritionist or not a nutritionist. I don't know. She claims she's not. I thought she was. But do you believe in like taking like those powder supplements and things like that if you're not eating well? Let's say somebody just is really averse to vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Do these things help at all, like as far as nutrition?
You know, I think it's always important. I think something like a multivitamin is something that every doctor recommends. And I think that there are some great powdered supplements. I think the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that when you take a multivitamin and it says it's getting 100% of your vitamin D and 50% of your vitamin E, there's a very, very, very small chance that that's actually what's being absorbed by your body.
Really?
And so we sometimes think like, oh, I have this powder or this pill. Like, I've got all the nutrition I need for the day. And though that, you know, though there is 100% of your vitamin D in that pill, it doesn't mean that your body takes it in. And food is really the best way for that to really be absorbed. And, you know, food is smart. You know, there's a lot of times that food will have vitamin D and it'll be paired with other things that help your body absorb it. And so I think that believe me, I take a multivitamin every day and I take a lot of little extra things like some flaxseed and things like that. So I think it's always great to do that. I mean, why not?
Right.
I just think it's important to realize that like it's not a magical pill or a magical
right.
supplement.
It's not a replacement for good food.
It's never going to be. You got to just
right.
eat the good food. Eat
right.
your veggies.
let me ask you this. Let's say you want to eat vegetables, but you don't really like the flavor. So you go to a Japanese restaurant and you get tempura vegetables. Now, I know that it's fried and, you know, it's got the calories and stuff, but wouldn't that still mean you're eating the vegetables? I mean, if that got you to do it, then...
Listen, you absolutely
right?
are. And if that's something that you're choosing over, you know, a fried meat item
right.
or something that's, you know, like... then yeah, it's a good choice. You know, I think that, like I said, it's kind of all about balance and small choices. Like, if it's over something else that you would have eaten that has no vegetables, then yeah, it's
yeah,
better.
Right.
But let's just make sure that we remind ourselves, like, it's still fried, you know, and just
right.
not trick ourselves too much.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely believe in sneaking those veggies in any way you can get them.
Right. Now, is there a difference in the nutrition between raw vegetables and cooked vegetables?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of why the raw food movement was kind of big, is that there are definitely some advantages to eating raw food. However, there are also some ingredients that you get more nutrition from it if you cook it.
Really?
So it can be a mixed bag.
Like what, for example?
Oh, God, you know, I'm not a big raw foods activist. But I think it's a tomato. It's actually more nutritious, or your body absorbs more of the nutrients if you cook it. You know, so I think that, yes, in general, if you overcook something and it's going to leak out all those nutrients. It's like if you put broccoli in a pot of boiling water and the water turns all green, it's because the broccoli has leaked a lot of stuff.
Right.
So, yes, the more raw, the better. But I think that, you know, that's starting to get into really the nuances of everything. And I think it's just easier to think, eat your broccoli,
right,
you know, and not get too crazy about it. Yeah. Maybe have some juice. That's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Put some salt on it, even if you have to. You know, but eat it with something, even
for sure.
Some, you know, maybe light ranch dressing or something, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that you have to give them incentive to eat this stuff, because if they're not used to it, you know. Now, I think fruit are easier to get people to eat.
Yeah, I mean, people like fruit. It has sugar.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it tastes good. I mean, things that taste good, we eat. But really, my mission between Junk Food Flip and my book, Me on the Side, is to show people that, you know, those vegetables can be as good as fruit.
Right.
They can be really tasty. I'm never going to serve you steamed broccoli. Instead, I am going to toss that broccoli with barbecue sauce. I'm going to dip it in chipotle cheese sauce. I'm going to grind it up with roasted garlic and put it in a taco. That's the way that I want people to eat their broccoli.
Right.
And I think when we realize how versatile vegetables can be and the different ways that they can be cooked, then you're going to get more excited about your vegetables. And hopefully, you know, it'll be just as yummy as that pineapple.
Cool. Now, are you saying you have to leave now?
I do.
I didn't realize that.
No,
okay. Well,
listen,
that's okay.
I want to stay here all day with you guys.
No, that's okay. I just didn't know, but that's okay. I mean, we understand.
Believe me, I don't want to leave either. I'm like, this is great.
Thank
I just hang
you.
Out here all
There's
day.
There's still so much to talk about. I mean, that's
but
the
I
thing,
know Guy Tano in the background's like, oh, crap.
All right. Well, Nikki Dinky, a chef, TV host, author. Tell people where they can find you, where they can find more information.
For sure. So, you know, you can always find me online at NikkiDinkyCooking.com. I'm also very active on my social media. Just look for Nikki Dinky. There's not many Nikki Dinkies out there. You can catch my book, Me on the Side, next year. And, of course, right now, every Tuesday, be sure to tune in to Cooking Channel for Junk Food Flip.
Sounds good.
Thank you guys so much.
Nikki, thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Continue your – you're doing like a PR trip right now,
yeah,
right?
I'm doing a couple things.
Right.
A couple things. But this is my favorite, of course.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're our favorite, too. Yes.
All right. Okay, Nikki, thanks. And thanks to your publicist. Thank you for coming in. And all the best to you. All right. So, Jen, what about the eating stuff? Do you watch what you eat a lot?
Yes,
I mean,
I do.
Closely, right?
I definitely do.
So you eat healthy.
I try as hard as possible.
Yeah. Well.
What about you?
I also, I'm not that conscious of what I eat, but in general, I know that I'm not eating junk food. You know, I used to eat junk food. Now, you know, maybe I'll have a hamburger maybe once a week or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't necessarily go to healthy restaurants and things like that. You know, it's just a question of do you really want to eat garbage, or do you want to eat something that's got vegetables in it and even meat, you know, but good meat, you know, not fatty stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've never been really interested in food. I mean, for me, it's like I eat to live type of thing, you know, rather than live to eat. But there's somewhere in between, too.
Yeah. I love good food.
Yeah. Do you cook at all? Do you enjoy cooking?
I don't cook all that often, just because I have a small kitchen and I don't have a dishwasher. And so it makes it kind of frustrating to have to clean everything. And
that's
it's
true.
A big process. And then also, if I'm cooking just for myself,
yeah,
I don't really need the entire
that's true
song
that's
and dance.
True.
I am fine eating like a microwave thing. And like, right, while that's not good for you probably either,
yeah,
it's just easier.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I actually signed up for Blue Apron for 1 week trial to test out my cooking skills. Because have you heard of Blue Apron?
No, tell me about it.
So I don't know, it's like a new wave of like making your life easier. There's also a company called Plated that was on Shark Tank, and what they do is they send you a box of ingredients for three meals for the week. And it's like all proportioned and already
3 meals every day or just
no for the week,
for the week, 3 meals.
Yeah. So it's okay. All the ingredients for those 3 meals and they just give you them all ready to go. So all you have to do is put it together and you have to just cook the items. So I signed up for a week trial just to see if I would like doing it and get me into the groove of cooking. They've already cut it all up for me and proportioned it. So I don't have to go to the grocery store. I don't have to cut anything. You know, I don't have to estimate, like, is that the right amount or eyeball things. It, like, they just give it to you. So
Yeah. Now, do they send, like, fresh stuff too? Like, fresh vegetables and stuff?
It's all fresh.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And they deliver it to you?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I feel like it'll be a good way to grasp my interest in cooking if I have it kind of already done for me and all I have to do is mix it together.
Yeah, there you go. And that's another skill to offer a prospective husband, you know.
Cooking
for you. Yeah.
Well, I do want to learn to love cooking because one day when I do have a family, I'd like to cook for them. And
have the meat at home.
Also, and I want it to be something, I mean, I'd always cook healthy. I'm interested to see Nikki's cookbook because to me that's a really interesting take on it. My friends and I try and cook like that too. Like we'll do, instead of tacos, we'll do ground turkey meat in a lettuce cup with all the like fixins, but we make it healthy as possible.
Yeah.
And it's still so flavorful.
Really?
Yeah. And you cut out the flour tortilla or the corn tortilla.
That's true.
You know, we do lean turkey meat instead of something else.
Yeah. What about cheese? Do you put any cheese
in there? Yeah, but it's like light Mexican cheese and then not a ton of it. You know, you put a sprinkle of it. You don't have to douse the thing. Right. So I'd like to cook like that for my kids and have like one day my kids grow up eating that way versus eating crap. Then you have to train them not to eat that way.
There you go.
Like I grew up eating whole wheat pasta, skim milk, and like substitutes for things.
Yeah.
So turkey meat, you know, turkey meatballs and things like that. So I'd like my kids to grow up eating that way, so it's not something they have to unlearn.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, when you cook at home, home-cooked meals, they're usually not fattening, you know. I mean, you know, you eat soup and salad and you know, like stew and chicken and things like that, you know. So it's not like going to buy a hamburger and hot dogs and things like that.
Well, people sometimes make those things at home, too.
Yeah, I know. But they're not as bad as eating out, you know. And sometimes it's just, you know, a treat for the kids or something. But no, I mean, I know not only my daughter, but we have a few people that I know that were not big eaters when they were kids. And my mom says even I was like that, you know. I mean, She used to call me lazy eater, you know, because I wouldn't eat. In fact, she would talk to the doctor and find out what to do. She would try to force me to eat. And then the doctor just, for some reason, I mean, way back when, the advice was just let him sit there and, you know, in front of the food or something. And if he doesn't want to eat, doesn't want to eat, you know. But then I think it changed to, I don't know what it changed to, but I know I didn't like vegetables when I was a kid, or at least some kind of vegetables I didn't like. Today I love them, you know. Mm-hmm. Soup, the same thing, you know. Soup, I didn't like it all when I was young, but now I love it, you know. So it really depends, but you're right that you have to get the kids used to eating right when they're still young.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it really is the parents' responsibility. Like, you know, Michelle Obama's campaign for, you know, providing healthy options in schools. It's the same thing. It starts at home.
Yeah.
So if the parents aren't eating healthy, then the kids don't eat healthy. Or if the parents don't make it a priority to teach their kids healthy eating, why would the kid be expected to know how to eat healthy?
That's true.
All they know is what they are taught.
Right.
So
that's true.
All those years could go by. Like, I mean, if you watch any of the like food documentaries, I watched Fed Up, you know, it's all about sugar and what we put in our food here and the secret ingredients that we put. kids are obese and then they get diabetes and then they have diabetes for the rest of their life.
Right. Now, the question is it because the kids eat a lot or they just eat the fattening things?
Probably both.
Both, huh?
I mean, either way, neither are good for you.
Right. But, I mean, there are kids that eat junk food and don't get fat.
Well, and so Fed Up, the documentary, actually addresses that because they're called skinny fat. On the outside, they look thin, but on the inside, their organs and things are, like, deteriorating.
Really?
And their arteries are clogged with fat, and it's not, like, a good way to live, obviously. Like, what Nikki was saying is, like, you're putting things into your body. You can't expect, if you're putting something bad into your body, that it's not going to affect it in a certain way.
Right, that's true.
While you may have a fast metabolism, or you might be tall, so you digest things differently, or, like, you don't see the weight being gained. You know, it's not all about weight. It's what you're doing to your body.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, so, but this is, you know, that's why I like to discuss this, because I think a lot of people have this problem, you know, of not eating right, especially when they're kids. They don't develop very well. And, you know, and then there's problems later.
Right.
You know, I mean, my daughter only now is starting to become conscious of what she's eating. And because I told her, I said, look, you have ailments, you have this, you have that. I think it's because you're not getting the right nutrition.
Yeah.
So let's try that. But for some reason, we found someone who just was interested in selling this powder. So I'm kind of disappointed, but we'll have to find someone else. But I believe there's somebody there that can actually help with nutrition and stuff. They know what they're talking about.
Yes.
And they watch what you eat. They give you recipes. They give you guidance and so forth. You know, because usually when you're not getting nutrition, you're not a good eater. You need to be educated as to how to eat.
Right.
Yeah. Very interesting. Did you know there was a cooking channel? I mean, I know of the Food Network.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch it sometimes?
I haven't watched it just because I don't, like, know the shows on it.
Right.
And I really love the Food Network, so that's usually my go-to if I'm going to watch a food show.
Right.
But I really want to watch Nikki's show because that sounds like something I'd be very interested in.
Yeah. I know. It sounds cool, especially when you know the person.
Yeah. I'm going to record it, and I will watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it started June 2nd, so we've missed a couple episodes already.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's online, too. Maybe we can catch it online or something.
Probably.
Today, everything's online now.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah, I know.
Makes things very convenient.
Yeah, you do it at your own pace, at your own time, you know. Yeah. You know, yesterday, my friend who also drives Uber, he tells me, he says, I had two German women in the car. They saw I guess he had a Hebrew tattoo or something, I don't know. And they started talking, and he says, you just would not believe the racism in the things they said to me. And I thought, wow. You know, it's like this anti-Semitism just doesn't die. You know, it's it continues to be like, you know, and I'm not surprised, because I'm totally convinced this is something somehow spiritually, whatever, this hatred is in the human DNA. It's like people hate Jews. They don't even know why.
I mean, if they were German and their parents, I mean, I don't know how old they are, but if their parents lived during the time of the war, then that's what they probably grew up. Just the same. I mean, it literally is the same thing as talking about food, like, and what people are raised to eat and what they know. If you are bred to know a certain thing.
Right. But then, I mean, you grow up and you understand for yourself.
Right. You know? Well, I mean, you could also, you could educate yourself, or you could believe what you were told and never look into it further, or it becomes a conversation that no one has because it's
got you don't even think about it anymore. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I literally don't think about the Holocaust every single day, but if my grandparents were in it, or my mom came from, you know, a place that, whatever, you know, it just was removed from my family enough where it's not a topical conversation.
Right.
So while, yes, it's part of my history because I'm a Jewish person, it's not a daily thing for me. But I have no idea what those people lived as in, like, their lifetime. So we don't know. And I'm sure it's not every German. Every German there are Germans I meet every day that, you know.
Not at all. Not at all. But it's just that I told him, I said, I would have thrown him out of the car, man.
But, you know, it goes to say the same thing about the people in, you know, Charleston.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're killing black people in a church. That are praying.
It's not they, it's just one guy.
Well, yeah, but the point is that where did his belief system come from?
Right.
How he was probably raised or whatever it was in his life that made him hate black people, or, you know, maybe his parents were slave owners. I don't know, because who knows?
But then maybe they weren't. You know, maybe he was just influenced by his friends and peers.
Right. We have no idea, but either way, like, hate trickles down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if people were just born today, I mean, who knows? People just have their opinions. So it's because we all have opinions that are the problem. We should have no opinions. Okay. Just kidding. That's like 1984.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe that you wouldn't have an opinion, you know?
No, of course I would have an opinion on everything, I'm sure. Because that's just how we are as people. But it depends, like, where your opinions come from. Like, how I was brought up by my parents.
Yeah.
Who are pretty positive people, you know? So if they were negative, I don't know what my opinions on people would be.
Yeah.
I'd have them, but they might be negative opinions.
Yeah.
So who knows what this guy was raised like, or who the people he's surrounding himself with.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a young guy. They caught him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he was a church to kill black people. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty scary, man. I mean, you know, but... Yeah, I mean, this is a lone wolf type of thing, you know? I mean, we can't generalize that just because one person does this, that this is the prevailing view in the country.
No, of course not.
You know, and that's the thing, is that these are like isolated incidences. I mean, I'm not talking about the cops for a minute, but just when people do these kind of things, you know, I don't know that you can blame the whole society for this. You know, some people will try to look like, why is he like that? You know, can we blame ourselves?
Well, yes, we can, because there are several things that we as a people can do, especially coming from the top. If the president is saying there are things we can do about gun control and make it more difficult for people to get them, make it so the right people have them. Also, why are the wrong people getting them? Why hasn't that person been diagnosed with something? What's going on with the medical system, you know, where the healthcare system, where like people aren't being diagnosed for mental health disorders and being treated quick, like, you know, quicker.
Well, they can't be diagnosed if they don't think there's something wrong with them and they go to the doctor.
Well, that is true. But I mean, in their lifetime, I'm sure this guy has probably been there. Or fine, let's just take it to the, you know, how this guy even got a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people snap, you know, and I don't know if he got the gun legally or not, but.
But to say that, like, we as a people, okay, so that's us the voters, that's us the politicians and policymakers, we are all responsible. Because, I mean, what do I do in my day other than do what I'm doing? I'm not sitting there making it a priority to change policy.
Right.
But I'm a voter, so hopefully when I go and vote, I vote for the right thing.
Right. Then don't vote in California, because our votes don't matter here.
Well, but also, I mean, I would like to think that they do, and I'd rather spread the word that people should vote here and not tell Californians.
No, absolutely. That they absolutely.
Won't.
But I mean, because of our electoral system, by the time the votes come to be counted in California.
But, well,
know,
that's
it's
in
also
federal
presumed,
stuff. That's also, I mean, we have state legislature.
Right, but we still have a lot of, I mean, the state leans very liberal. And
well,
that's
maybe
why
we as the state
say,
need to, that's why we have a responsibility to step up and say, you know, we want things to change.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we can scream all we want as voters, but the politicians do what they want. And to them, there are more important things, I guess, to deal with than with these things. So
that's one way to look at it.
Yeah,
or we can be positive and hopeful and everybody can rally and try and change it. We don't have to keep living a certain way.
No, that's true. But, yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty idealistic what you're saying. I mean, I don't know.
Somebody has to be idealistic for things to change.
No, that's true. So you need to run for office.
I don't know that I do.
Feel strong about it.
I think, though, that I can, since I have the platform to speak to people in a daily radio show, I can say, I think that there's a spin where we could say, you guys should all go out and vote. You can do something about what's going on in the world.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. But definitely if you're a Republican in the state, you're a minority. And that frustrates me because I'd like to think that I can matter in my vote, with my vote. But all I've seen so far is that California is never really a consideration in any of the elections. Of course, you're right, local, state elections and all that. But as far as federal, where it matters the most, I don't see any effect. Like, I feel I can't even have a vote for the president because it's not even going to get here, you know. So
listen, gay marriage is now becoming a federal thing where they're trying to agree that all states have to allow it. That came from the little people that could. You know, like, it was a dream. It became more of a reality. Yes, people still have hatred toward homosexual people. Or, I mean, I don't care if two dogs get married, like, or a cat and a dog. Like, who cares? If, for me, at least. To me, it's less of a religious thing when I have to go to a court to get married.
Right.
If that was the case, I'd get married by a rabbi. But you can get married in a court. So how is it now a religious thing if you're getting married legally? I think you can't have it both ways. There should be a separation if you're going to make it a religious thing. But so, you know, the fact that it went from the fact that we have a black president or possibly a woman president or the fact that, like, you know, gay people can get married, I think things can change.
Right.
We see it. Yes,
no,
it's
obviously,
slow.
Obviously.
But.
Yeah. But you need a lot of power behind it, you know, and I think the gay community has got pretty has gotten pretty strong and influential, you
right.
know, in many places in the country.
But we could also, I could decide I'm part of the no gun community.
Yeah.
And there could be a million people out there just like me that, I mean, not that I think that that necessarily is the case. I'm giving an example.
Right.
But if you rally together, like, that's why, you know, there's a diffusion of responsibility. People think, well, my voice isn't going to be heard, or I'm just one person, or it'll never happen. Or maybe it will if we all rally together. Like, there's a petition going around about the Dog Yulin Festival. It's like a dog eating festival. People are petitioning against it. And so hopefully enough people will sign that petition where that festival gets canceled because people shouldn't eat dogs.
Wow. That's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's it for today, Jen. Thank you, Nikki, for joining us this morning. A chef, go out and check out her stuff, NikkiDinky.com.
NikkiDinkyCooking.com.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
That's right. And or you can just Google her, I guess. And that's it. So have a great day. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Tomorrow you're bringing a friend in.
Yes.
That'll be cool. I'm
yeah.
looking forward to that. It's always fun.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.